The Roundtable is where the newsmakers come to talk. Weekday afternoons at 5:45 on The Rush with Ryan and Jay. In-depth radio. News Talk 1010.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Justin Timberlake has entered the Nike store down at Yonge and Dundas. He's wearing a red and black lumberjack shirt.
Buffalo plaid, it's called.
Oh, it's from my apologies, Barb to Julia. Buffalo plaid it is. He's walked in. He's checking out his shoes. He's releasing some new sneakers. Which is a great dad word. Sneakers.
Do people still say sneakers?
No.
I think it's coming back.
It might be coming back.
It's retro.
Yeah, it's coming back.
By the way, that also known as the burnout jacket.
Christy Blatchford is here from the National Post. Hello.
Hello.
Amanda Galbraith is here, political strategist and analyst here at the radio station. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Barb DiGiulio is here, of course, from the night side, 7 to 10, each and every evening. Great to have you as well.
It's the girls' squad today.
I like the squad. I'm good with the squad. If it bumped Scott Reed off of the panel today, I'm good with that too. Let's start off with Premier Kathleen Wynne. She talked a little bit today about Doug Ford and his musings, which Doug Ford tends to do, about getting pot out of the hands of unionized employees in a very rigid setting and perhaps putting it in convenience stores and in grocery stores and figuring out places to put it. Here's what the premier had to say.
I think that a lot of parents would have concern about cannabis being available beside candy bars in corner stores. You know, as a grandmother, I'd be worried about that. It seems reckless to me. We took a lot of time to develop a plan for distribution of cannabis when it becomes legal under the federal law.
Christy, cannabis next to candy bars, which is, of course, where all the cigarettes are. They're not. We figured out a way to sell those. Did she not just fall into Doug Ford's trap here by sounding way too maternalistic?
Maybe. I mean, she certainly moved from, you know, big sister to big granny, I guess.
Big granny in the holding company.
Big granny.
Which sort of brings up, you know, big granny pants.
Panties, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
No. Not a good look. No.
I knew you were thinking that, Amanda. I just knew.
It was me.
Christy.
Oh, man. Oh, Barb.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anyway, look, I don't think it would happen, but I think the point is well taken. The point is that, you know, do you really want such widespread distribution of weed when it becomes legal? And probably she's right. Most parents don't.
Amanda, she's probably right, but that most parents don't. But for me, the politics of this, she knew what she was saying. Now she comes across as the person that wants to make sure that everybody's business is her business.
Yeah, I mean, I think lots of parents probably have done it, may continue to do it recreationally. I think like many people in this province. And I think the pearl clutching and the overreach of the state and the government is just drives me nuts. I think this actually is a really common sense political thing that Doug sounds like normal people would think, which is, why can't I buy booze at the corner store? Why can't I buy other products? I also think, you know, as we know, you know, the premier is going into election cycle and OPSU is a really important union to her. So, you know, they had to have this contract. But I think, you know, I think this will be interesting to see how this shapes out. I think this is probably good fighting ground for Doug, and I keep doing it if I were him.
Barb, when you look at it as a parent, is the premier appealing to you in any way?
No, absolutely not. So I'm going to come at this from a different angle. Everybody's talking about, yeah, we don't want our kids to be able to get the candy bar, which is up there with sneakers, something nobody says, and then get the cannabis beside it. We're talking about the government needing to control the sale of this, as opposed to allowing the advocates and the activists who have been fighting for the legalization to pushing them aside, and the government's going to take full control. And, you know, we've got corner stores that will lose their licenses if they sell cigarettes to underage people. You've got now some grocery stores selling wine and selling beer. Yet my 16, 17-year-old could probably walk through the LCBO, take a bottle and walk out and not pay because nobody is allowed to stop anybody. So I'm not really feeling that comfortable with that setup either.
It
sounds like it's all under the big tent of completely wrong. I also think that when you're the sitting premier, despite the fact that you've only been in that specific gig for a little while, the moment you mention that you're a grandmother, it just continually reminds people of how many terms your party has been in office, and it's just a constant sort of reminder hammering away. It's like, oh, 15 years, and oh, and you're a grandmother. It's just optically not a good look.
Yeah, it's interesting. All of that is really interesting stuff. Let's talk a little bit about these new apps. As I said off the top of the show, I love disruptors to the marketplace. I love Uber. I love that we get food from different places, whether it's Foodora or Ritual or Uber Eats. But Christy, there's no way in hell I am using this new app that's going to be taking shape next month. It's an app that allows home chefs to sell dishes prepared in their personal kitchens, which is just your kitchen. They've cropped into Canada. Uncertainties, of course, about health regulations, strength of consumer demand. Will something like this work? Would you be a customer, Christy Blatchford?
No, I wouldn't. It's not my thing. And I'm not going to get any more apps ever on my freaking phone either. But unlike you, I wouldn't do it for hygienic reasons. I mean, I think you're a bit of a germaphobe here. I think these things will work quite nicely. And, you know, there's a niche market. That's all it will ever be, because not everybody's going to be able to pay the price, even if it's cheaper than going out, of having, you know, your kid's tomorrow sandwich delivered the night before or something. So maybe it'll work. I don't know.
I just don't want food made by somebody else in their kitchen, like a total.
What do you think happens in a restaurant?
Well, they go through health regulations. Yeah. There's codes. Yeah. There's big signs
in
the
restaurant.
Wall.
I'll tell you sometimes what goes
germaphobe.
On. But the one thing, if you remember when Uber came first, and there was Uber and Uber X, and I remember being like, oh, there's no way I'll use Uber X because driving in someone's car is weird, but it's really great to get a discounted taxi fare, so I'm going to go there. And then now I use UberX all the time. So I feel like maybe as friends try it or people do it and it seems a bit more reasonable, some of these things are branded. I mean, maybe people get into it. I mean, and my initial reaction was also like, I don't want to eat something my neighbor made. But, you know, I think there's markets out there. Oh, people are really into it.
I would try it. I would try it. And you've got now companies you can go to prepare food, and they give you, you know, the veggies, the this, that, or they'll deliver all that to your home in a kit. I would try it because there are certain things, like, for instance, I love to cook, don't always have the time, and don't know how to make a great lasagna like my mother-in-law does. Mm-hmm. If somebody made one prepared and they, you know, had some great reviews, I would probably try it once. Cabbage rolls,
stuff like
that.
Has nobody ever gone
to
somebody else's house? Let me just ask the question here. If you've never gone to somebody else's house and you look and their living conditions are a little subpar, and maybe they don't have just one cat, but they've got six cats, and you're thinking, yeah, maybe I just...
You're very judgy, Ryan.
Maybe I'm full.
You're very judgy.
Maybe I'm just full tonight.
I think you probably should have vetted your friend a little bit better than that before you even went to their house, more than likely.
Six
you know, this
cats.
Actually this actually works for, I think, a lot. I live in the beaches area. I think this will play really well down there. This is a community Facebook hub. This is a group of people, a demographic of people that absolutely love to use Kijiji, and we put stuff on each other's porches, and you can buy little knickknacks and bric-a-brac and people's stuff. And I think if you know that it's someone in your neighborhood and they're actually making this type of meal, and you actually know of that person in your hood, and they're going to make lunches for your kids, or they're going to actually make your meal prep a little bit easier, I think you can do well in a side hustle sort of small community area.
I didn't even...
Can I just say, any bric-a-brac mention makes me cringe.
Just the word
triggers
brick-a-brack?
We can't say it. Brick-a-brack.
Yeah, I don't want any bric-a-brac. I shall never exchange any bric-a-brac, and I am against bric-a-brac.
Bric-a-brac, sneakers, and candy bars, all in the show.
If I just throw it in there, I have a similar reaction when people call a garage sale a rummage sale. It makes me shudder. I don't know why.
Lots of bric-a-brac there.
I'm just writing down, Wednesday, March 14th is the day that I triggered Christy Blatchford.
Son. Let's go to Loblaw. Are they really the bad guy here? The Federal Privacy Commissioner is asking more questions about Loblaw companies today for information about its decision to request some customers to provide additional personal information, like their copy of their driver's license, their utility bill, to make sure that the right people are getting their so-called free $25 gift cards that they had to give out because they were apologizing about the bread-fixing scandal that they kind of got caught up in. Here's the former Privacy Commissioner, Anne Kavoukian.
They admitted wrongdoing, so they're doing this to appease their customers. Oh, my God, what a way to appease customers. Insult them even more by demanding this kind of sensitive information. And not from everybody, just from people they select. And the people they've selected, they don't know why they were selected. One of the guys who complained to the Privacy Commissioner was so outraged. He's saying, why did they pick me? I haven't done anything wrong. And I'm supposed to be getting $25, and they're demanding this ridiculous information.
Christy, two things on this.
The whole thing is silly.
Right. I mean, two things on this from me. Apologies should never come with caveats, meaning if you're going to apologize and offer something as an apology, you don't put strings on it like I have to give you more of my information. And number two, when you have a situation like this, I think that people are trusting, you know, you're doing it out of an act of good faith, but ultimately don't treat the customer like a criminal.
Yeah, I suppose. And I mean, the criminal in the case is the company which engaged in price fixing, right? So I have no difficulty with them, you know, trying to appease their customers. But on the other hand, are they supposed to just give $25 away to everybody forever, no matter what? I mean, I'm a good example. I almost never buy bread at Loblaws. I like the stupid, crunchy, homemade granola bread that you would die, I'm sure, if you saw how it was made. But, you know, I'm not going to ask for my $25 back because I didn't spend it. But what if I asked anyway? Should somebody not occasionally be asked to prove who they are so they can't do it twice?
No, because you should build this in, Barb. I mean, you should build it into the cost of doing business. You're trying to offer a great grandiose apology. Now you look like a bunch of jerks. And trust me, if you look at our text board and our phone lines this afternoon, people are not happy with you as a corporation.
Yeah, I have a problem with the randomness of it all. Why are some people getting them and then suddenly some people are being asked for this ID? And the other thing I would say, too, for me, it's a difference to say, if you want your gift card, you have to bring it in and show us your driver's license. I would never, and I advise people to never upload ID like a driver's license or a passport. That is way too risky. They should not be asking for that. I would show it in person if I needed to, but I would never upload it. That's nuts.
Do you wonder if they sort of spot check people and ask them for ID on their gift cards based on the fact that they look like they stopped eating bread years ago? Like, you look like you cut out carbs completely. We're going to check you for your ID.
I don't know. A friend of mine got asked, and she was outraged. So, you know, there's a lot of outrage, but then it's a world filled with outrage. Yes, it almost doesn't count.
Well, and American Idol got some outrage. Benjamin Glaze, the guy who is now revealing that he was uncomfortable with Katy Perry last night, surprising him with his first kiss during his American Idol audition.
Have you kissed a girl and liked it?
No, I've never been in a relationship.
Really?
I can't kiss a girl without being in a relationship.
Come here, Benjamin.
Come here right now. You can't
come
be.
Come here right
come
now.
On, I gotta get
come here.
Stop. What, on the cheek?
You didn't even make the smush sound.
Let me start over.
The 19-year-old musician said that he wanted his first smooch kiss Christy to be special.
That's very special of him to want that. What is he doing at 19, never
exactly.
having kissed? Good grief. Even a social kiss? Honest to Pete.
Amanda, get a life here in this situation?
I don't know how you reach the age of 19 and have never kissed a girl. Like, honestly, it's a mystery to me. I think that man should be thankful.
I think I watch too many reality shows, and I've seen a lot of American teenagers who are in families that are quite religious, and they take this stuff pretty seriously. Like, they actually do. On one hand, I don't get it. And on the other, I can understand somebody feeling like I really would have wanted that to be different.
I'd have went for Lionel Richie. All night long, baby. All night long.
Okay, I'm just leaving it there. Christy Blatchford, Amanda Galbraith, Barb DeJulia. We'll have to have this group of people back because you guys were great today. Thank you so much.
Don't miss the Roundtable. Weekday afternoons at 5:45 on The Rush with Ryan and Jay.